Hi, I'm Pam, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Pam.
I'm really grateful that I got to do this commitment. It's been a really good experience. It went really quick. I was really surprised how fast it went. It's just been a great experience hearing other people share their feedback, you know, after I've shared. And I just appreciate everyone being here and listening, too. So I'm just going to go through, starting at the first step, and make my way to 10, 11, and 12. So I admitted I was powerless over alcohol. My life had become unmanageable. And that was a real process for me. It took a few years. Like I shared, I had used from about 13 to 21. And I got into, a lot of different things. Started out smoking pot and drinking, and it just progressed, and it got worse. And, I shared about being really delusional and thinking I was on the right path. Meanwhile, I was, going to raves, and, that's what I did, and that's what I told people I did while they were telling me they had graduated college and, they had started families. That's what I was doing. And just so delusional, I really thought I was on the right path. And I was completely lost, and it's scary to me to know that now. Like I said, God really just swooped in and saved me when I was 21. I was in Florida, completely lost. I was with people that I normally wouldn't be with, and just in situations that were very scary. And I believe that He saved me. He plucked me out of there, and I had a profound experience with God. And I knew He was there for me from the beginning. And I did things similar to the steps. I didn't know about the step work, and I made amends to people and things like that. And I knew I had this connection with God, and I just listened to Him, and I did what I needed to do to have that clean slate. I didn't know about AA. I didn't have the fellowship, and eventually I forgot. And I was also at that time diagnosed with a mental illness. My family had been told at that time that I was going to be like that for the rest of my life. I basically was, had completely lost it, and, was on another planet, really. And they told my family that I was going to be like that for the rest of my life. So what happened was my aunt had called and said, there's mental illness in our family, there's drug abuse and alcoholism, and they changed that whole thought of me just being stuck in a trip to having bipolar disorder. And so I focused on that first, thought that was why I couldn't drink, because now I was going to be on medication, and, so I couldn't drink because of that. And they would just ask me if I was staying sober, and I would say yes, and I didn't know what that meant. And I didn't know what sobriety meant. I just thought it meant I'm not drinking, and that's it. And I didn't focus on being an alcoholic. I focused on what bipolar was and, what I needed to do to get better. And I did get better, and, I feel like my story is kind of like two parts, because I did relapse eventually. Like I said, I didn't have the fellowship, and I forgot what God had done for me. I didn't continue in that spiritual connection with Him. I didn't grow spiritually. And like I said, eventually I forgot what He had done for me, and I relapsed. And I just didn't see any powerless in it, in the drinking or anything like that. But when I did relapse, it was for 3 years, and I drank in complete guilt and shame. I started to realize that, God had given me a gift, and I just gave it away. And, I did want to help people with mental illness. I eventually would do that. I'd say, I'm going to stop drinking, and I'm going to help people, that were in the same position as me, or, eventually I'll stop and I'll do that. And, I went to college. I went for psychology and did all that. And I couldn't stop, I started to see, I couldn't manage it. I couldn't control it. I would towards the end of my drinking, you know, I would try to stop. I would try different drinks. I would try not to drink on different nights. And I always ended up drinking by the end of the night. You know, I was a bartender. I bartended 5 nights a week. I was there on my nights off. So that was my life. I lived in that bar. I couldn't not be there because, you know, I'd miss something. And a lot of stuff went on there. It was just, you know, it just became my life. And so I went from being, you know, a college graduate or a college, you know, student going for her bachelor's and bartending to becoming a bartender. And, you know, that became my life. And I just was stuck there. And, I started to see the powerlessness. It was really, like, the beginning of the end. Like, I just was starting to get gratitude towards the end of my drinking because I knew that God was going to do for me what I couldn't do. I had that experience before that God, you know, had restored me to sanity. So I guess I started to feel like his presence, and, you know, even in my drinking at the end, I was thanking him. And I came to a place where I just surrendered. And, you know, like I said, you know, it was another experience where, like, the room just shifted and, you know, I sensed his presence and I was gifted with willingness to do whatever I needed to do, you know, to get better. And, you know, I went to my doctors who I'd been lying to for 3 years saying I wasn't drinking and I was on medication. And I went in, I said, I need help. And, you know, I've been drinking, I've been lying, you know, and they told me to go to the hospital. And, you know, like I said, I guess was kind of between step one and two at that time. You know, I kind of knew that God was doing for me what I couldn't do. And you know, I recall that he did. He restored me to sanity. And you know, just was willing. Like I said, I was gifted with willingness. And I had a... My sister-in-law was in the program, and she brought me to my first meeting at East Rockaway. And, you know, like I said, I saw step two written in black and white, and I realized I was home. You know, that was my experience. And that's when I knew I was in the right place and that God brought me here. And I made it my home group and just continued with the willingness to just do whatever, you know, they asked me to do, and I got a sponsor. And we did step three together. You know, we started from the beginning, but I just want to kind of move along. So, you know, making a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of God as I understand him. Like I said, I already had those experiences with God, so I was very open to that idea. It was very abstract to me, the step, reading it. I didn't fully understand it. You know, I did the prayer with my sponsor, and I had shared that I had this dream, you know, that God had just entered in where I was, and like this bright light came on, and I just realized that, you know, he's always been there. You know, I was listening to the song, and it said he's constant. He's always been there. You know, he's brought me through so much. And, you know, when I think about how delusional I was and, you know, being on completely the wrong path and thinking I was on the right path, you know, it had to be his grace bringing me here. And so, you know, when I had that dream, I called my sponsor the next day and I said, all right, I'm going to do it. You know, I made the decision. And it's just, you know, like I said, I didn't fully understand it at the time. And it comes to mean more and more to me, you know, as I go through the years, and that, you know, God just wants all of me, you know, and more, you know, and I just keep offering myself to him and doing my best every day to do his will, and aligning my will with his, you know. It's difficult sometimes, but, you know, this is why I'm sober. You know, he brought me here for his purpose, not for my purpose. And eventually, you know, I made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. So I shared that, you know, being someone that I always saw myself as a victim, in self-pity, you know, poor me, all that stuff. And it's kind of tricky because I never thought I was self-centered, because of that. You know, it's everyone else's fault, and I've been hurt so much, and so I couldn't see that I was self-centered or selfish. But being in self-pity is part of self, and look, you know, just worrying about me and being depressed. And you know, I shared, you know, that I would call my sister, and the first words out of her mouth were, "What's wrong?" You know, every time I called her. And I just realizing that was like, I can't believe I've done that to my family. You know, even when I was 21 and, you know, them getting that phone call, I'm in the psych unit, and them telling my family that, you know, she's lost her mind, she's going to be like that for the rest of her life. And I couldn't imagine, you know, getting that call, you know, for, about my sister or my brother or, you know. So I, you know, I realized through these inventories how selfish I'd been. I looked at my fears, you know, and found the root of my fears. And I didn't get to share this, but I really, a lot of the roots of my, you know, breaking down any of my fears, it came down to a fear of being separated from God and being in complete isolation and darkness. It came down to that with every fear. And that's something I experienced recently in an inventory that, you know, it's, you know, I could say I have fear of being alone, fear of being abandoned, all these other words, but it just came down to that for me. You know, I need you guys. You know, I need God. It's a scary thought. But, you know, I have the fear prayer, I have God, I have faith. So I admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs, which is a humbling experience. It's a great experience. I did an inventory with someone last year, and like I said, I think I shared it. When I was going over the step that this person, you know, there was something that I never thought I would share with anyone. I was so ashamed. And this person, you know, before I even got into it, she knew already, and she shared the same thing. And, you know, I was just so blown away, and just, it had to be God. Like, you know, I didn't pick this person. God put this person in my life, and it was such a great experience, and, you know, such a bond with this person now. You know, it'll never be broken. And, you know, I'm just so, I have more gratitude for God for that. You know, it was just, it could have really, really, really hurt me, you know. It was something really difficult. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that I got to get that out. And I'm not blocked, and I'm freer for it. Step six. We're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. And like I shared, you know, this was a process. It is a process. You know, I spend a lot of time with God in prayer, and I shared about how it has to become, like it says in the book, objectionable to me. You know, I have to see that it's not okay with me anymore to curse, or it's not okay with me to behave in a certain way. And once I come to that place, you know, I have a willingness to change it and a willingness to reach out and ask God for help. So it's a process. And so humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And, you know, that's something I continue to do every day. And, you know, I ask for the awareness of them and just, you know, like I said, it's a 6 and 7 for me is just, it's cleaning house and it's a lot of inside work and to spending time with God. And then 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So, you know, I have the list from step 4. I shared, you know, that I also, you know, getting up to this point and pray and ask God if there's anything else I missed or maybe there was something I wasn't prepared to look at in step 4, you know, and I've had that experience. I've had experiences where, you know, I did become willing with one person I think I shared about. It wasn't necessarily on my list, and it wasn't, you know, in my time. It never is in my time. I think someone else shared last week that, you know, God knows all that, the timing and, you know, how to have that, you know, forgiveness. God gives us that. And, you know, this person I didn't have on my list, and I ran into her. I wasn't expecting to see her, and I knew that was the time to make that amends, and I did, and I was willing, you know, it was a great experience. So now I'm going to move to 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Okay, so this is, you know, where I continue this process. You know, I have to continue to watch for, you know, the anger and the fear, anxiety, all of these things. You know, this is where I'm going to grow, start growing spiritually, you know. Like it says, you continue. I always think of my sponsor. She always points, it says it so many times, and you know, in step 10. You know, it's just continuing to watch for those things and doing, you know, what I did in 4 through 9. You know, I have to be open and willing to make amends promptly when, you know, I make, you know, my behavior isn't right. I have to, you know, be open to that. I just have to take a moment. You know, it talks about different types of inventories that you can do. You know, my home group, we have a step book meeting, and you know, I grew up on that. And in the step book, you know, it talks about all the different types of inventories, like the spot check inventory, that daily inventory. You know, that you could do an inventory that's a yearly inventory. You know, I shared that I've done 4 steps before. You know, I don't know if it's considered 4th or 10th step, if, you know, but I think sometimes I need to just clean out. And, you know, I get the certain things where, you know, I'll say, no, I'm all right with that. It's not a big deal. And I brush it off, you know, and that's where the disease is, you know, tricky, and it's insidious. And that's when, you know, if it catches up, sometimes it catches up to me when I do that inventory. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. This step, you know, it shows us exactly how to stay in touch with God on a daily basis. And in the big book, it talks about, you know, upon awakening, you know, throughout the day, we stay connected to God. And, you know, I didn't really know how to pray or meditate when I first came in. I knew what prayers were. I believed in God. You know, like I said, I had that experience when I was 21, and I was really hyper-connected to him for a while, you know, but I didn't know how to maintain that. So I would just use, you know, the prayers that were suggested, like the Serenity Prayer, the 7-step prayer, the 11-step prayer, until, you know, I really could believe it in my heart. You know, it became a practice, an everyday practice. And then, you know, I just eventually just started talking to God and building this relationship. And, you know, as I went through the steps and through really just life experience and seeing God in my life, you know, I grew closer to him, and I could really see how he works in my life. And, you know, I'm able to pray and talk to him now, and it's much deeper level now, it's really a combination a lot of times with the meditation. You know, I enjoy meditating. Sometimes it's like with music and just being in the moment, just being in the present. You know, I feel like that's where God is, and it was really hard for me to do that at first. A lot of stuff going on in the beginning in my head, and very jumpy, and I didn't like sitting, you know, in quiet. I need the TV on. I need people talking around me. You know, I just wanted to be distracted. And, you know, it started out with, you know, using music and things like that. And, you know, it was difficult at first. But I remember someone sharing that meditation isn't, you know, you don't have to shut your mind off. It doesn't have to be quiet. There's going to be thoughts coming in and out, but you just kind of let the thoughts come in and come out, and you know, just kind of go with it. And that was helpful to me because I would try to, like, stop thinking. And that's, like, really, really impossible. But, you know, those moments of where I'm just, like, in the flow and with God and I just sense him. You know, it's getting easier. So 12, having had a spiritual awakening. As a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the alcoholic to practice these principles in all our affairs. Yeah, like I said, you know, in the beginning, and it's told to me, you know, going through the steps, you know, my purpose is to help the next alcoholic, you know, to show them how to go through the work. You know, I can't express, like, my gratitude to God. I really can't. And, you know, this is the least I could do is carry this message. You know, we're uniquely made to help another alcoholic. You know, this program has given me purpose and usefulness. You know, I can't express it. You know, I was thinking about it, you know. You know, if I didn't have that first experience, you know, I never would have known. I wouldn't have recognized God, you know, coming here. I don't think it would have been the same for me. It's hard for me because I don't always share about the mental illness part, but it's so huge in my story because, you know, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be able to, like, have a sane conversation according to the doctors, and I'm not supposed to have a job that's stressful. I'm not supposed to have a master's degree. I'm not supposed to be, you know, in a normal relationship, a healthy relationship, have a group of friends. You know, none of that was supposed to happen according to the way I was heading or according to other people. You know, I was told by a vocational counselor, I think she was being realistic, she said that to me, you know, you shouldn't really go for anything too stressful, like a teacher or anything like that. And I had this fleeting thought, I think I want to be a vocational teacher. And that was 9 years ago. It was a fleeting thought. And I went to school, you know, I went back to school eventually. And like I said, I got my master's in special ed and got a job subbing as a special ed teacher. And I was there for a good while, and then there was this opening for a classroom teacher. There's, like, no jobs, and, you know, I'm waiting for them to ask me to work in this position. And there's this new woman downstairs that's working, too, and all of a sudden I have this competition, and I'm getting upset, and this isn't in my plan. And, you know, my supervisor calls me in to their office, and they say, you know, we have this new position. It's a vocational teacher, and you'll be working with the whole school, and we're going to send you back to school so you have another degree. And I was like, oh, you know, it wasn't what I expected, and I knew it was God, you know, and I remembered having that fleeting thought that I think I'd like to do that. I think that's something I could do. So God gave me that little bit of hope and you know, focus and direction, and I didn't even know it. He just, like, kind of shoved me along. And it's through, you know, my friends and my support that really God was shoving me, you know. And it's such a gift. And, you know, how could I not share this with someone else? I remember when I first started sponsoring, you know, I said to my sponsor, I can't do this. This isn't working out too well. I don't think I could do it. She's like, you know, maybe you're not a real alcoholic. You know, it was just challenging me and also, you know, reminding me that it's not about me. And then I thought about all the time she had spent with me and took time out of her schedule to sit with me and to share her experience. And I said, how could I not? How could I not share this with another alcoholic? How dare I even think, you know, that I don't need to do that, you know? So, you know, that's what I do. You know, I work with other women, and I stay willing despite this is the most uncomfortable thing for me to do right now. But it's not about me, right? So, you know, I try to stay willing. You know, in the beginning, I did the more unspectacular, you know, commitments. So I made the coffee for a long time. You know, I was petrified of people, so it was perfect. I was there before everyone else, you know, had it ready. And, you know, I got to talk to people slowly as they came in. And I did greeting, you know, kind of ease my way in. When I got a car, you know, I would drive other people to meetings. You know, all those things, just staying willing. And also, you know, you know, I love how they talk, and Bill's story talks about how, you know, through rough times, you know, those times when he had anxiety or depression, helping another alcoholic always save the day. And, you know, I've been through a lot of different things over the past 9 years. And, you know, one thing is my mom's been sick. She's, you know, has cancer. She was diagnosed about 8 years ago. So, and there's been a lot of rough patches. But I always knew that I needed to be here and have my sponsees and continue and show up, despite how I was feeling. You know, I always have to keep moving despite my feelings, because my feelings are, you know, want me dead, really. You know, they want me home, isolated, under the covers, feel bad for me, you know. So, you know, through those times, you know, it's amazing what, you know, reaching out to another alcoholic does. And it's helped me immensely. And God has carried me through so much. You know, when I try to practice these principles in all my affairs, work is the main one I could look at right now. I share a room, probably the size of four people, and there's a lot of personalities flying around, and I can get caught up in a lot of the stuff, and you know, I have to remember what principles I live by now. You know, I used to live by a lot of those principles, and it's, you know, a change. I'm, you know, God's transformed me, and I have to work at that. Sometimes, you know, I get caught up, you know, but like I said, I have to remember, you know, I have these new set of principles that I live by now, and you know, I have God, and I have all you guys, and I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much for having me.